Find your places in Luke chapter 2. Thank you, ladies. That was beautiful, beautiful. And just praise the Lord that we can exalt the Lord Jesus this morning and make much of Him and have the spirit of John the Baptist and saying that He must increase, but we must decrease. And trust the Lord to help us to do that. And good to see a good crowd here this morning, good Sunday morning crowd. And so thankful to see you here. Visitors, again, thank you for being here to worship with us this morning. I hope you'll be encouraged and receive a blessing. Look forward to meeting you after the service, and just want to thank you for being here with us. Was anybody as surprised as I was this morning when you walked out the door? Wasn't sure I'd walked out in the same place. It's kind of weird, to be honest with you. I didn't know if I was about to pass out or something. I thought I was getting maybe a hot flash or something. I said, what is going on? But I'm serious. It had to be at least a 20 to 30 degree difference from last night and how it dropped so quickly. And man, that is pretty amazing. And then I got to think about how that was a really short winter, Brother Ricky. Oh, man. But I think we're okay because winter hadn't officially started yet, has it? I think it's like the 21st, something like that. So we're good. All right. Got a few more days of this. But yeah, good to see y'all this morning. And hope the Lord's been encouraging you. I hope that you've been able to spend some time with family leading up to Christmas. That is a time that we're able to see folks we hadn't seen in a long time. And just hope you've been encouraged and just praising God for what He's done in your life. We're going to continue studying or looking at some passages that revolve around Christmas and the reason we celebrate Christmas. We'll get back to Daniel one of these days. But I just feel like the Lord would have us go here this morning in Luke chapter 2. You find your Bibles there, Luke chapter 2, and I'll begin reading in verse number 21. Now you'll remember, two Sundays ago, we preached about the shouting shepherds, and we're following up from that one. Last week, we did talk about the wise men seeking the Lord, and we're going to pick back up here following after the visits from the shepherd boys, and that's where we'll find our place. In fact, I'll just go ahead and read verse number 20. Luke chapter 2, verse number 20 says, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." And then verse 21, And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I do pray that You would just bless this time as we look to Your precious Holy Word. Holy Spirit, I pray that You would be the teacher. I pray You would only use me as a vessel. Father, I pray You would meet needs that only You can this morning. And please, Lord, we're just asking that the Lord Jesus would be high and lifted up. We're so thankful for what You've done in our church, Lord, and what You are doing, what You have done. Lord, we're so thankful for each other, Lord. I'm so thankful for the people here this morning that have made the time to be here to worship. Lord, I just pray You'd be with those that couldn't make it for whatever reason. Lord, I pray You'd encourage their hearts this morning. And Lord, we just commit our time to You now, asking You to get all the glory, for we are so thankful for Thee. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of this morning's message is The Earthly Entrance of Emmanuel. The Earthly Entrance of Emmanuel. That term, name, Emmanuel, meaning God with us, prophesied centuries before this actual event by the prophet Isaiah. And we see here his entrance into the world, onto the earth, and we saw 2 weeks ago how that was announced to the shepherd boys. And boy, that great event, that time of shouting, and boy, I tell you what, I thought it would have been appropriate for all of us to get up and just start shouting during that one choir number. Amen. It's time to shout! Amen! There's nothing wrong with shouting for the Lord. And if you're not doing it now, I want to go ahead and tell you, you will be doing it one day when you get the glory and shouting to the Lord Jesus and His goodness. But that wonderful event of that birth announcement and them going and visiting and seeing the God-man there in the manger, in the barn, with His daddy and His mommy, and just that wonderful, wonderful event there that we see. But then we're going to move from that occurrence. The boys went ahead, the shepherd boys went about their way, and shouting and thanking God for what they had seen. And now we're going to see what happens next. And that's where we see Jesus, and if you will, begin His earthly life. And you can even say ministry. Now I say, some people say, well, how can you minister as a child? Because He's God. That's how. He's God in the flesh. And we're going to see some things that we should note this morning that are very important for us, and how we can apply it to our hearts. Now, you'll remember here all the prophecy that's gone in to this very event, the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. A minimum of 15 prophecies fulfilled just through this birth of the Lord Jesus. You go through the Old Testament beginning in Genesis and go through and all the times that it was said that the Lord Jesus would be born and the Lord Jesus would come and He would take upon flesh. And we see that the fulfilled prophecies here leading up to this time. Now 8 days have passed since that wonderful birth and since the precious Lamb of God was born into this unfortunately sin-loving, God-hating world. And that's exactly what it was. Just like it is now in many ways. Man's heart going his own way, not seeking the things of God. We see it all around us. But we see He begins His life with being born with the human nature. But not only with the human nature, but we also see that He was born under the law. The Bible says that He was made under the law. In fact, why don't you just take a glance over there with me, hold your place in Luke, and go over to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, chapter number 4. And verse 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. The Word of God says here, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman." There's His human nature. And then it says here, "made under the law." Why? "To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." My friend, I think it is no accident that the very first week or two of the Savior's life, we see Luke here, the physician, and writing this, we see him putting an emphasis on him being made under the law. Just in this short passage of verses, we see probably about 7 or 8 verses, I didn't count them total, but just in the following verses in the book of Luke, we see in chapter 2, The law is referenced 5 times just in that short period. And is speaking of Jesus Christ being made under the law. That's very significant for us who are born under the law. And we're going to see how He came to set us free from that law. You know, if I could sum up our message here, I want us to see how the Lord Jesus and Him coming from glory, I want us to see how the Savior has identified with us. Don't you appreciate it when people identify with you? They try to hear your hurts. They try to see where you're coming from.
They try to feel your hurts and seek to be a help to you and encouragement. They seek to try to identify with you. I'm so thankful that people try to do that, that perhaps haven't been in my situation or walked in my shoes. They seek to have a desire to identify with you. Well, can I say that was the desire of God Almighty? Even though He is the very one that created us from the dust of the ground, as Genesis says, this very God has taken another step, my friend. He decided that not only would He create us, but He would come and join us. The very God of the universe would take upon Himself the form of flesh to identify with us, to hear our hurt, to see our cries. As the Bible says, the Lord Jesus looked upon the multitudes moved with compassion. That's the Lord Jesus who came in the flesh. I'm so thankful for that, the name of God that we see in the Word of God, Emmanuel, God with us. Not just God over us, or not just God around us, but my friend, the Word of God says God with us. And that's exactly what He did. You know, God became us so that He might reach us. You think about that, dear friend. God became us so that He might better reach us in His perfect will. It's hard to understand this concept that God would do that. I confess that to you this morning. It's hard to get my human finite mind wrapped around this great truth that the God of all glory would put Himself in a position as this, in the form of a flesh, of a human shell, for me to come and to live in this earth, this sin-cursed earth, God-hating earth. He put Himself under the elements. And though He did not set aside His deity, that's very obvious, He was still the God-man. He was still 100% God, and He was 100% man. He did not lose one bit of His deity. But He did choose to set aside some of His attributes. He decided to limit Himself in certain powers and certain abilities. And He surely set aside His glory that He was experiencing in heaven with the angels. Emmanuel, God with us. One illustration that came to mind that it does not illustrate it perfectly, but I think it helps. Back in the 1800s, there was a time where there was a great movement of God upon a people group called the Moravians. And they were just fervent and zealous to do something for God and to spread the gospel to as many places as possible. I mean, a great revival was taking place, something I'm praying that will happen right here. So we'll see a sweeping move of the Holy Spirit upon our hearts, and we'll see people called in every direction. But this group of people, they were fervent and they wanted to go everywhere, but there was one place they found out they could not go and where they really wanted to go. And that was to some of the Caribbean islands where they were shipping, merchants were shipping slaves from Africa to these islands for slave trade and for slave labor. Just awful, awful conditions, folks. And they tried to go sort of in the shoes of a pastoral ministry or just a missionary ministry going and helping these people. But these people on the island that had control over these slaves, they said, no way, no one's coming here except for the slaves and for those that are working with us. No one is coming. Well, to make a long story short, church, there was a couple Moravian men that said, you know what? If they're not going to let us go to be missionaries there, we will go there and become the slaves. And let me tell you what happened, church. These Moravian missionaries, these Christian men just like you, just like me here this morning, They were nothing special. They were just God's children who had a heart to see people saved. And they offered themselves. And of course, the merchants and the people that were in control and authority over this island and over the slave trade, they just thought these men were crazy. But they offered themselves and said, look, we want to become them. We want to go and eat what they eat. We want to become and work like they work. We want to come and be treated like they're treated. We want to come to be like them so that we might reach them.
Folks, that is the Spirit of Christ in their hearts, because Jesus set the first example of that. That's why He came. To be like us. That's why He came and took upon the form of a human being, so that He might more effectively reach us. God's perfect plan. I see, number one, He identified with us as becoming flesh, as we've mentioned. Just the Lord worked it out. That beautiful song that the lady sung there just a minute ago, it was just hit right here. Let's go over and look at that passage. We must go look at this passage. We see, number one, He identifies with us as becoming flesh. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Hold your place in Luke and just go over to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 5 through 11. Here's Paul encouraging the Philippians here. To have the mind of Christ and His humility. And this is what our Savior's done. He identifies us with because He's become flesh. Now look there in chapter 2, verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. All right, here we go. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation. All right, there you go. He's gonna come from heaven, and He's gonna make Himself like men. Okay, but you see what the Word of God says. He's not here to make Himself of a reputation, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a what? A servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He took upon flesh for me and for you. And being found fashioned as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And as the lady sang earlier, it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. But before we see an exaltation, there was very much humiliation. The God-man was humiliated, was made an open shame before the world, the way they treated Him and cursed Him. But we see He did that for us, to identify with us. Hebrews chapter 4 says this, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now, I have to say again about this thing of identifying with others. I think we all have to admit in here, although I'm not saying it's a total cure, but I think we would all have to admit here that it is comforting when someone identifies with you in a struggle you're going through. Perhaps a certain temptation. Perhaps a certain difficulty. Somebody saying, look, I know what you're going through. There's comfort in that. There's help in that. And by the way, can I say this? You know this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Many times God will bring you through something for the very fact that He's going to use you to help somebody else that's going through it. And friends, that is a perfect picture of the God-man here. He came here on this sin-cursed earth. He came and received the persecution that you and me receive. He received the accusations. He received the opposition. He's received that. He's fought against the devil. He knows how the devil acts. He knows how temptation can come.
The Bible says he was tempted in all ways, yet without sin. He never gave in. But the Lord can say, listen, I know what you're going through. He came to this earth to better identify with us. Aren't you glad that we have such a wonderful, compassionate God that He is willing to come and take upon the form of a human being so He could better relate with us? Identify with us, His creation. We see John chapter 1, verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh," that's the Lord Jesus, "and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Oh, thank God that He was willing to come. And as we think about Christmas, may we celebrate in our hearts, church, that Jesus came. Amen. And He chose not to come in all His glory, but by the way, He will one day. But at first, He had to wait. He had to humble Himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says this, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though," get this, "that though He was rich," and I mean rich, friend, Bill Gates and the old fellow who owns Facebook and all these other crowds, and Warren, what's his last name? That sounded like tongues. Somebody say it clearly. Buffett, there you go. Hey, put them all together, friend. It doesn't hold a light to the riches and glory that's in Christ Jesus. And what He experienced there in the glories and what He had was nothing. Was nothing. These men had nothing compared to what the Lord had. Though He was rich, yet, I love this, "for your sakes He became poor." Identification. He wanted to become like us so that He might better identify with us. But yet He would fulfill the laws we'll see here in just a second. It says, "For your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich." There's just something about identifying with people. I was really touched a few years ago, and I feel like it was commendable. I mean, perhaps the Lord will allow me to do something like this one day. I don't know. But another brother in Christ that I know about has a ministry in Tennessee. And God just impressed upon his heart the great burden for the homeless people. And they had done things, outreach or whatnot, but God had convicted him. And he's a pastor. And church, he had decided that God had brought him to the place where he really wasn't going to be able to reach them until he became one of them. And he did not necessarily quit his job, lose his life, but he did, if I'm not mistaken, I believe he did go out there. I think it was about 3 to 5 days. And you say, well, that's not very much. Well, it's more than you've done. It's more than I've done. But you know what he did? He went out there and he went out with the bare necessities. He did have, went out with a good jacket or something and a stocking cap. Went out with no money. He went out there and lived with those people. And they thought he was crazy. They really did. But he told them, he said, listen, I want to better identify with you and your needs. I want to be out shivering in the cold. I want to know how humbling it is to be hungry and not have any food. I want to know what it means to have people look down upon me and scoff at me. And that's what he did. And I believe God gave him great bridges that he never even dreamed of into the homeless community now, a huge outreach. But friends, do we see that's what the God-man did? He came to this sin-cursed earth to better identify with us because he loved us. We see, number one, in his as becoming flesh. He identified as becoming flesh. But the second place we see of identifying is as fulfilling the law. He came and the Bible says that he was made under the law, as we see in Galatians. When the fullness of time was come, when that exact time that God had chosen from eternity past had come, he sent forth his Son, born of a virgin, born of Mary, made of a woman and made under the law. And he came to fulfill that law perfectly. Hey folks, That ought to be a relief to you. Oh my. As you study the Old Testament, you start reading through all those laws, over 600 and more, especially when you get into certain ordinances for the temple and different ones. All the laws that were required, there's no way we could ever fulfill the law. There's no way. We are under the law and we are slaves under the law, and God has used the law for a specific purpose, and that is to bring us to Christ. But we see here that Jesus came and fulfilled it perfectly. He didn't mess up one time. The Lord Jesus did not mess up. He made no mistakes. He fulfilled the law perfectly in every way. And He did that because He was going to be the perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And He most certainly was, all the way to Calvary, when God laid on Him the sin of the whole entire world. A man, the God-man, who was totally innocent, became sin for us. Christ made under the law, the Word of God says. As I mentioned, the law is referenced back in our passage. Go back to Luke with me, please. Luke chapter 2, and we see here that several times it is mentioned. It says, it's referenced by the 8 days, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, that was fulfilling the law, okay? And then we go ahead and see in verse 22, and her purification according to the law of Moses. And then verse 23, as it is written, in the law of the Lord. And we go on to see in verse 24, and offer a sacrifice that is to the, said in the law of the Lord. And you go on, and we'll see in Simeon as well. I may be there tonight. We'll see. But we see the custom of the law in verse 27 and several other times. The reference to the law, made under the law. These were people that were under the law, and He was fulfilling it perfectly. That first one, the law of circumcision, by the way, there are so many similarities in the Muslim faith and Islam to the Jewish faith, or even the Christian faith, if you will. Because Muhammad, the prophet, it was just basically, he just pulled little things from every which direction. With the help of, I believe, a demon at the time. And he just pulled information from the Torah and from different areas and just kind of put them all together. And that's where you get Islam. But we see here that, and this law here, it is speaking of the law of circumcision. And where I was going with that is in Niger, they have, when a child is born, it's the same thing. They expect for them to have 8 days, and then there's the circumcision for a young man, and then also during that time is the naming ceremony. Very, very large event for family to come to and observe. But during that time, there is a purification process. And we see, hold your place there. Let's go look at it. We'll look at this passage in the closing of our message this morning. Look over to Leviticus. Hold your place in Luke. And look over to Leviticus with me. Let's look at these laws that Mary and Joseph fulfilled with the God-man, the Lord Jesus, that they went through, and the Lord Jesus was made under the law. We see here in Leviticus chapter number 12. Leviticus chapter number 12, begin reading in verse 2. Leviticus chapter 12, verse 2, speaking to the children of Israel, saying, if a woman hath conceived seed and born a man-child, which in this case this with the Lord Jesus, then she shall be unclean 7 days, according to the days of the separation. For her infirmity shall she be unclean. And in the 8th day the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. And verse 4, and she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying
3 and 30 days. All right, so there's going to be 33 days where she is going to basically she's going to be restricted from any type of worship and activity outside the home. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. And that's exactly what she did. And verse 5, but if she bear a maid child, which was not the case, it's a different application. And then in verse 6, which did apply to them, and when the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation unto the priest. So we see here, very right off the beginning of the life of the Lord Jesus, how He is so evident that He is made under the law. It's so very clear that we see that it was, first of all, the law of circumcision. We saw that. Then we saw it was the law of purification, which was accomplished. And then there was the law of oblation, or sacrifice. And that's when the sin offering and the burnt offering were offered. Now, here's this. I don't have much time to spend on this, but it's also evident that this family was very poor because they were not able to offer a lamb. They were not able to afford that, so they were allowed by the law to give the pigeons. Okay, and we see here as we saw in the Word of God. But I got to thinking about that, Brother Ricky, and I was encouraged because listen, we all can afford a lamb now. You think about that. Jesus says the gift, the free gift of salvation. That's the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Amen. I can't pay for that lamb, friend. I have to receive it by faith. Amen. We see that He was a fulfillment of the law. I must hurry. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law. Hey, listen, don't ever get a negative connotation of the law, because, hey, God never speaks of it in a negative sense. You remember that, church? The law, yes, is applied differently than it was then, but He does never condemn that there's the law. The law is a schoolmaster bringing men and women, boys and girls to Jesus. But He came not to destroy the law or the prophets, but He says, I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Moreover, the law entered. By the law entered, that the offense might abound. Because of that law over us, there's no way we can keep it. We offend it, we break it, and therefore we are guilty before God because of the law. But thank God, listen to what Romans says. More of the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That's something that we can rejoice in this Christmas and all the times of the year. That yes, the law is there, but Jesus came and fulfilled the law perfectly. Listen to Romans chapter 10, verses 3 through 4, talking about the children of Israel. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And listen to what the Bible says. For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Hey, listen, I'm afraid even in our own, right here in Jackson County, I am grieved, church, by the people I come in contact with that are continually trying to establish their own righteousness. It breaks my heart. And it should break yours too. When you think of the people that think, yes, I go to church. Yes, my name's on a membership roll. Yes, I've given to church. Yes, my father or mother or grandparents were in church faithfully. Yes, I have a Bible in my home. And they go about seeking to obtain salvation by that, by perhaps fulfilling a certain rule or law. And they're trying to establish their own righteousness. But I want to tell you, righteousness will only come in the God-man, King Jesus, the Lord Jesus. The Bible says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So we see here, He identified us with us by being in the flesh
as fulfilling the law. He was made under the law, but He fulfilled it perfectly. We couldn't keep it, but He could, praise God. And He did. And because He did, is my last point, He identifies with us. And in other words, He identifies to us that He is our Savior. Because He came in the flesh, and because under the law He lived a perfect, sinless life all the way to Calvary, He can become our Savior. That's why we see in the Word of God there, look there back in Luke, as you were keeping your place there, look what His name is. His name was called Jesus, given by the mouth of Gabriel, the angel, the name from heaven, Jesus. Folks, do we know what Jesus means? It means Jehovah is salvation. Amen. That's the very heartbeat of our God, is salvation of the world. Salvation from our God. Listen, God's will for Israel is to be saved. God's will for the Gentile nation is to be saved. That's our Lord, Jesus, meaning Jehovah is salvation. Psalm 68:20. Says, He that is our God is the God of salvation. Isaiah 25:9, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us. For this is the Lord, for we have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. Isaiah 52:10, the Lord hath made bare His holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Isaiah 62:11, behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. Get it? For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name, my friend, is Jesus. Jesus. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto what, church? Salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 through 9 says, though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. That's the Lord Jesus. And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Oh yes, my friend, that little babe in a manger, that, my friend, is the King of Kings. The author of salvation. The completer. He's the one. He's the one that we celebrate. The Lord Jesus saw our need, and He came. He came for us. I close with this illustration. In the latter part of 1971, American astronaut James Irwin wrote a book entitled The Moonwalk. It described how he had left a hospitable and beautiful planet called Earth. And he left by a special vehicle by the title of Apollo 15. And he touched down 13 days later upon a dangerous and totally inhospitable planet known as the Moon. He arrived there 13. And for 3 days, he walked the surface, the rough surface of this moon, and then he returned home. And through his book, he just expressed some of the things that he experienced in his own thinking. And one of the thoughts that was is how different and how low it was and how empty it was and comparing to the beautiful earth that he left. And you know, I think about this illustration in the very fact that the incarnation, the Lord God coming down and indwelling flesh, I believe could be titled God's earth walk. That's God's earth walk. He didn't do a moon walk. He came and did an earth walk. He indwelt flesh, the Lord Jesus did, and he left heaven where He had been worshipped by the angels. And he came by way of a special vehicle. Her name is Mary. That was the vessel that God chose. The woman Mary. The Virgin Mary. And he touched down upon a sin-loving and God-hating planet called Earth. And for the next 33 years of his life, he traveled dusty roads. He agreed to eat our food and to drink our water and to breathe our air. To go to the cross and have his face covered with our spit. And his ears be filled with our cursing. To offer, to come, and to save us from our sins. Hey, my friend, this is the story and glory of the Incarnation. That's our Savior. Hey, that's Christmas. That's why we can sing joy to the world.
Amen.
The Lord is come. That's why we can celebrate and shout and be thankful because of what the Lord Jesus did for us. He identified with us. Oh my. How thankful are you, my friend, this morning for what the Lord has done for you by coming to this sin-cursed earth. How thankful are you in your heart? And can I say this with the psalmist? What shall you render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards you? Perhaps, let's turn the tables. Let's ask ourselves something, church. How are we now identifying with the Savior and the life that He lived and His purpose and His goal in life? To live a godly life led by the Spirit of God that brought honor and glory to the Father. How are we identifying with Him even in times of persecution and even in times of being wronged? And even in times of being uncomfortable, maybe even times of inconvenience. Oh, how are we identifying with Him? Are we identifying with Him by taking up our cross? That's what He told us to do. He said, take up your cross. Come after me. And that's what Paul said as we learned about Paul's heart for Him. Paul wanted to identify Him, that I might know Him, that I might experience Him, that He might be able to identify, that He might be able to be called a disciple of Christ. He counted it great joy as we read in Peter. Peter just hit that over and over again. Listen, children, I know you're being persecuted and I know you're going through the fire right now, but count it great joy and count it a privilege and an honor that you are able to identify with the Savior. Don't look at it as a burden. Don't look at it as a chore. Hey, rejoice. You can identify with Him. Hey, listen. Where's your heart today, church? Let the Lord have His will and way as we think about what He did for us, the earthly entrance of Emmanuel. Let's pray. Before I lead in prayer, I do want to open it up this morning to a simple invitation to those that are here with us this morning and would be honest and say, I do not know for sure that if my heart were to stop right now and that I would die right where I'm sitting, I am not sure where I would be. I don't know if I would be before God. I don't know if I would be in hell. I have no idea where I would be. There's doubts raging. But I just don't know. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand for the simple fact that I can pray for you. I'm not going to call your name out. I'm not going to embarrass you. But if that is you this morning, and under the preaching of the Word of God, you realize that you have no assurance where you will be. You could not give me a Bible reason. If I were to come to you and say, friend, would you show me in the Bible how you know for sure you're going to heaven? If you're honest, perhaps you would have no idea where to open the Bible because you just don't know. If that's you this morning, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to pray for you. But could you just show me by lifting up your hand, dear friend? I won't embarrass you. I will simply pray for you. Just please lift up your hand high enough so I can see it. Anybody having doubts on where you would be when you leave this world, lift it up high so I can see it. Anybody like that? Father, you know the hearts that are represented in this room. You know, Lord, if there's someone here without the Savior, I pray that you'd help them to get the help they need. Oh God, help them to come forward and talk to somebody that can show them in the Bible how they can be saved. And then, Lord, I pray for your children. Lord, would you help us to appreciate the identification of Christ coming to this earth? Oh God, what you did. I'm forever indebted, Lord, to give you my best, to give you my all, and to be thankful, a heart filled with gratitude. Oh God, I do pray you'd help us in this. I pray you'd bless now in the invitation time. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.